What makes you think that I've forgotten?
I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Bloody clam digging.
Fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, this is the ESE podcast. That's right, it's Eat, Sleep, Elite. It's your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I'm the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as the Lisan Al Gaib. Also known as the one who controls the worms. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know, the Heretics of Dune. Anyway,
the interpreter of constellations.
The interpreter of my ass. Anyway, we're back again. Some really good stuff this week. Some fun wrestling. You know, obviously we had the pay-per-view this past weekend, and so we're in the post-pay-per-view cycle, if you will. You know, and it's where someone's like, I won't, actually, and then they just turn off the podcast. So, you know, anyway, that being said, I mean, there's some stuff I want to talk about before we actually get into the show, and I'll get to that in a second. But Charlie, just first of all, how are you today? And, you know, we had some fun wrestling this week. I said, like, you know, there's some, you know, some really good match quality this week, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like in the past, I don't know, maybe it's 3-4 weeks. I don't know where it's coming from, but it feels like there's a lot of excitement around AEW again.
This pay-per-view actually had a good card.
It's really nice. It feels good to kind of be on that flip side where instead of it feeling like online chatter's kind of, you know, expecting, you know, drastic terror, instead it's been excitement and anticipation for the future. And it's been nice. It's been fun to follow these past couple weeks.
100%. And just like, you know, we talked about the match quality, or at least I briefly mentioned it just a second ago, and want to just to shout out the Revolution, you know, the crew of wrestlers that put on a show at Revolution. We got 3 5-star matches coming out of that show, so I don't have them pulled up right now, but I'm assuming you just remember off the top
all
of your
back
head.
To back. I mean, that we kind of dubbed it, you know, we had 3 instant classics in a row when we were reviewing our show, being the Hollywood Ending match, the International Championship match, and the Steel Cage, and all 3 of them hit that 5-star on the Wrestling Observer scale from Dave Meltzer. So, I mean, look, that's pretty exciting for these wrestlers, I have to imagine, to, you know, it is just one person's grade, but, you know, if you make a movie, you still look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. So
100%. I wouldn't necessarily compare Dave to that. It's like Dave is just like every other, like, the best thing you could compare Dave to in terms of, like, obviously he has a lot more inside sources, but, like, he's kind of like a film critic in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's just his one subjective opinion. Just because he says the match is this or that doesn't mean that it is or it isn't. But like, it's a good gauge because, I mean, there's not been anybody that's been, you know, doing this kind of, you know, reviewing or putting a stamp of approval, if you will, on matches as long as he has, at least as far as I know. That's got as much clout, certainly. And so it's just something to look at. So obviously take it with a grain of salt, but the fact that we have 3 on one show that we're all back to back, I mean, just imagine if that was what the show ended on. I mean, or if we had another match to even add on top of that, that could have, you know, maybe gotten somewhere, but obviously that wasn't the scenario we were in. But just, you know, and make sure you guys check out our Revolution review. If you're listening to this in your podcast feed, it should literally be, if you click on the show, like, it should show you a little link that you can click to go to the rest of the show. It should be like the most recent podcast before this one in our feed, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you should definitely check that out if you're curious what we thought about Revolution. And make sure you finish this episode first, though, if you want to hear about what we thought about this week's past, you know, post-Revolution cycle. Like, if you happen to already have tuned into that and you want to, you know, see where we're at right now, but make sure you listen to both. So that being said, Charlie, I guess that takes us to favorites. And I'll hop right into it. We're doing double favorites this week because obviously we didn't do a regular show last week because of the pay-per-view review. So we will start off with our favorites from last week. And for me, I'm not going to spend too much time on mine. It was a pretty good match. It was Daniel Garcia versus Lee Moriarty. These two guys, it's like been these two and Wheeler and then maybe Lee Johnson have all kind of sort of stuck in the circle of like sort of technically really sound and also really athletic wrestlers that can like be the future of AEW. And it seems like they're positioning STP and Daniel Garcia and 2.0 to maybe potentially do something, you know, that's something, you know, once we get Angelo back like fully or whatever, if he's available, you know, maybe we do that if that's the plan. Either way, there's certainly trying to make Danny's title reign feel, you know, legit, and versing like Shane Taylor and making Shane Taylor on AEW would not be something I would put past Danny. So, you know, like, I'm really not surprised to see these two, you know, they're probably going to be, I mean, if they're smart, right? Because they're both the two technical guys, you know what I mean? And we've had, I don't know, McGinnis literally dubbing Lee the most, what does he say? Something along the lines of he's like the best.
One of the youngest, most gifted technical wrestlers.
Basically, like the best technical wrestler he's ever been in the ring with, basically. And yeah. This guy's wrestled Brian. He's, I'm sure, at least gotten in the ring, you know, and scrapped with Zach, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, like, he's 100%, you know what I mean? Like, so, it's a, as ringing of an endorsement as you can get as a technical wrestler. And obviously, we all, I mean, no, Danny is literally a pillar that graduated at becoming a main eventer. So, you know, if, there's no stronger endorsement we can give. And so you put those two against each other, and yeah, and it's going to be magic, you know, so. Won't spend too much time on that, but Charlie,
always that special little thing of how much we personally, you know, we believed in him.
100%.
And it's just, it's cool to see.
We'll always have that attachment to him as a wrestler, because he was known, but he just, and I think we would agree, if you go and listen to our podcast from 2 years ago when we first really latched onto the guy, he just needed something to like get himself known to the crowd, because he was known, but they never really did anything with him. So it was just, it was too stop start. He would even say it in his promos, you know? And so, but once they finally realized what they had in him, you know, it's been golden ever since. So now I'll actually get onto my main favorite for this week, which was, of course, the debut of somebody who we've been anticipating for a while. We've been so hyped for this one. We've tracked the signing, every little rumor that came out. Every time there's been an open challenge for Max Caster, I think we predicted that there was going to be a debut for this guy.
Could because, it be?
Yeah, you just never know. And then, you know, then they announced this tournament. It's like, okay, if you're announcing this tournament and it's somebody that's going to potentially fit Kenny, it makes a lot of sense to bring this guy in here, you know? And that's Speedball Mike Bailey. This guy has been one of those guys that we both really liked on the indies, but then like the Super Junior tournament run from a year and a half or two years ago, whatever it was just it. I mean, I've seen great tournament performances, but there was like three tournament performances in that tournament. Master Watto and Leo Rush and Mike Bailey. They all three stole the tournament, and it's insane. And just look at the matches they had with each other. Look at the matches they had toward the finals and semifinals. It was just a phenomenal tournament overall, and Speedball was a central part of it. And it's weird because he was kind of the odd man out. He kind of just felt like the random gaijin they threw in, you know? But he did not play. That's not how they played it out at all. He was absolutely like a huge potentially. I mean, we thought he might win for a minute, you know? Like, it was crazy. Like, but Speedball was a really good. And obviously he's not, you know, and you put him against Beast Mortos here, right? Which, you know, I mean, on paper of all the opponents that, you know, you could put him against, this is like one of the best ones you could potentially do, because Beast Mortos is incredibly consistent. He's very good at playing the David versus Goliath thing, even though I don't know that there was that much of a size disparity. But the point is, like, he's really good at playing the I'm the big, heavy, strong kind of like powerhouse, and I'm wrestling a guy who's not necessarily that's more flippy and more athletic. And man, the one thing that stood out to me in this match, and is going to surprise no one, is how fucking flawless those kicks look, dude. I mean, this guy is like so perfect for AEW. Because imagine, okay, hear me out. We have guys that are really good at strikes, that are really good at punching and chops and all that, right? Put him against this guy and have them trading a punch or a chop and a kick back and forth instead. I mean, you could do some crazy stuff with this. It's just the endless possibilities of what Speedball can do in AEW are just so exciting to me. Let's see what I wrote down specifically in my notes here, because I'm sure there was some stuff that I wanted to get to. Anyway, sorry, my brain's completely fried. All right, yeah, so, oh yeah, like, he's looking at $1 million here. I mean, and oh, Mortos, by the way, one of the things we never really talk about, but is definitely notable. He sells like crazy, dude, and that's one of the things that helps this match so much. It's pretty wild. They really were hitting each other really hard, which is no surprise here. What I think the thing that I took away the most, and I noted this down because it was significant, you know, when you have a guy like Speedball, who I'm sure has technically wrestled on TV before, but I just never in like front of a crowd the size clearly of the AEW audience, at least not in recent times. So I have to look at what TNA gets, right? But as far as I know, TNA doesn't even scratch, but I could be wrong, you know? But you put this guy in a television scenario in front of what he knows is going to be a big audience, in front of a live crowd, and he does extremely well. And, you know, not everybody can just do that in AEW. I've seen people get out there, and even though AEW is not WWE, they still feel that pressure, you know? So seeing him thrive under the spotlight, that was really nice to see. He did not use the Ultimo weapon to win, but he did win with like a really nice looking crescent kick. So that's interesting. I don't know if he's going to use the crescent kick as a finisher or if he's saving the Ultimo weapon maybe for a pay-per-view or something like that, or maybe for a big win. Either way, whenever he hits that move, it's going to pop the crowd. So just, Charlie, give me your thoughts on this match. I mean, obviously it was my favorite this week, so I obviously was really feeling it. So tell me what you thought of the debut of Speedball Mike Bailey.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. It was someone we've been kind of hoping and anticipating was going to show up sooner than later. I think it was Tuesday night they announced the that it's a wild card, and it's like, oh, shit, here we go. So the excitement really started building throughout that, and yeah, it was against the Beast Mortos, which I don't think you could have picked a more perfect opponent, and they went out there. They highlighted all of Speedball's, you know, big moves that he can hit, including the speedball kicks, little shit like that. They really made him look like a presence and made him feel like this is a good signing. Look, this is the kind of person that's going to get over in AEW like so easily because of how great they are in the ring. So, yeah, I look forward to what he does from here on out. Beast Mortos, I love that he's kind of been elevated to this spot of, yeah, we trust you. Like, go out there. Because A, the crowd always cares when you're out there, and B, we know you're going to make our star look good. So, Beast Mortals is one of those signings that was like a Ring of Honor / AEW tiered deal, but we were like, oh, Black Taurus, like we were really digging him. Well, I like to see more of this guy, and here we are. I mean, almost 2 years later, it's fucking awesome.
Mortals is one of those guys, he would just be against everybody. Like, they just brought him in randomly as like a random... It wasn't enhancement, but he was just not winning. Kind of like what he does now. He doesn't win, but he looks really convincing against just about everybody because of his, you know, build. So, and then you bring him in and you're like, oh, okay, if you're going to bring that, it's like, if you're going to bring in a guy just to have on the roster, that's like the only exception I'll make for, like, you know, people that like aren't like mega names or whatever, you know, like, not that he wasn't already a name, but like, you know, he just wasn't as known. And so, but I'll take an exception if you're just really, really good in the ring and you can make anybody look good. Yeah, absolutely. We could use that on our roster whenever and always, because you always have new up and coming stars you want to make good, like Speedball.
Yeah. Yeah. And here he is now. So, yeah, really, really cool stuff to see that. And yeah, I thought that was just in terms of debut, about as good as we could want. And, you know, the Eliminator Tournament, that was a fun little gimmick that we had this week. So, yeah, I guess let's cater off that into mine from the last week and the week before. And we're keeping it Lucha themed. Last week, I guess 2 weeks ago, it feels like now, I did the Hologram versus Jalisco match that was on Collision. I mean, look, you know what you're getting out of this match, and it still delivers every time. Like, these guys, they're Jalisco. He got a lot of flack when he first came to AEW because everyone, he didn't get the greatest start, right? And kind of, yeah, Dragon Lee and Andrade and all these other guys that were involved in that program, they were getting all the shine, and Jalisco was kind of the afterthought. Well, some time goes by, Jalisco is getting more and more matches now, and in my opinion, he's going out there and taking advantage of the opportunity. Yeah, this was one of those matches where I think just showcases what AEW can bring in and what they have brought in. And we get more Lucha Libre every single week in terms of who's wrestling. So, yeah, I look forward to what Jalisco can accomplish. And Hologram, obviously. I mean, Hologram is still only 26 years old. I mean, the fucking sky, the future is so bright for him. He's getting better every single time. But yeah, this was just so much energy is what I wrote down. Just they had so much energy together. So you'd expect nothing less from these two, right?
I think my biggest problem with Jalisco has and will always be that out of all the luchadors in AEW, and maybe it helps that Phoenix and Penta are both gone now, so he has a little bit more breathing room, but he was like the fifth best in-ring luchador, and that's just, you're already starting in the hole at that point, you know what I mean?
Like, yes, so. And they treated him like that too. So that it was a mixture of two things. They needed to give him some time, and he would do fine in his tag matches, but he'd get those one-on-ones, and there was one that was kind of a stinker. I can't exactly, it might have been against Vikingo, but There was one where it's like, damn, he did look a little behind. That was like 2 years ago now. So, but look, we're getting opportunities with Hologram, and he's been getting involved more and more, and that's what you love to see. So, because he wrestled on this week as well on Dynamite, right? So, yeah, good stuff out of him. And this week's match, well, guys, we're jumping all the way to the end of the show here. We're going FTR versus the Undisputed Kingdom, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. To this day, my favorite tag partner for Kyle O'Reilly is still Roderick Strong. And when these guys are going out there having these matches, boy, oh boy, did it fucking hit. So this is the third time we've seen these pairs of teams match up this year. And I think it's the best. I think it's my favorite. We saw the match 2 weeks ago, which was pretty good. Pretty damn good. But I think this one topped it a little bit. Something I wrote here was, this really felt like, we often hear Dax talk about how much he loves 70s and 80s tag team wrestling. So many of the things that they were doing, it kind of brings you back to that. And it's just like, God, this FTR is so special.
And that's the thing is, too, and this is something I got to give Dax credit for. It's not even like he's doing a move or a style of wrestling that you would have only seen back then. What he does is he does stuff in a way, in the way that he sells, and his facial expressions, and his little way that his mustache is set. You know what I mean? Like, small little details that add up, almost like in a Robert Eggers sort of way, that sort of add up and make you realize that exact thing and that put that vibe in your head without even you having to actually, like, look, like, oh, you know, you didn't have to, like, watching a 70s wrestling match, you know, a few weeks later and be like, oh, wow.
You can feel like you're looking at some AWA in the 80s, Midnight Express, you know, like, that's what they got, man. Like, that's the energy they bring, and it's so fucking cool. It's just so enjoyable. But yeah, this match ended up being FTR ended up winning, which is a pretty big deal, and a really, really clean finish. Just a great finish. They had Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole both on commentary, who... they didn't really add too much. They were kind of passive aggressive against each other. And I don't know if that really worked too well on commentary. But, you know, that's here nor there. You know,
I think the problem was the match was too good for them to actually add anything. Like, if they had been the versions of themselves they both probably could have been, it would have been distracting from the really good match we were having. So maybe that was just a choice they made to not overshadow what was going on in the ring. I don't know, but.
Yeah, but, you know, we should be setting up the third match between these teams, maybe at Dynasty, maybe we keep it on Collision, but yeah, I thought this was really, really good, and the Collision main event strikes again.
We often talk about the team that wins these feuds being the team that should be the number one contender. Do we think whoever wins this sort of, like, pseudo-trios feud, should that be who's contending for the championships next?
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah, because these two teams, I mean, this is going to be a big, big win on the resume against whoever you win. So whoever wins it, I should say. And yeah. But again, that Collision main event spot is treated by the wrestlers like the most important segment of any wrestling show this week. They treat it with care. They go out there. They have a legit pay-per-view style match. I challenge you guys. This was a pay-per-view tag match. And it felt like one. And I still just can't believe that exists.
I think we don't realize how much this is going to be, like, we have, like, I'm trying to think of the two examples. There was the one with, there was the TV match that they had with, who was the first one they had the tag team match on Collision with? Who was it?
Yeah, it was Robinson and White.
Okay, yeah, and then after that, not long after that, we had, yeah, you're right, it was with Bullet Club Gold, and then not long after that, they had, like, a trios match that was also, like, a top five tag team match of the year or something like that, and then not long after that, and then, like, I think 6 months before that first match, they'd had, like, another ridiculous tag match on like, Dynamite or something like that we talked about all year. FTR does this two or three times a year, where they'll go out and have one of the best tag matches of the year. And they're going to go ahead and do it, like, 2 or 3 weeks from now with somebody else, too. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, it's like, and if you scroll back a couple of weeks, the match that they actually had, the other match with the Undisputed King they have, even with the restart, was still pretty good. So, you know, like, you know, that we're going to be forgetting that this is probably the best tag team wrestling we're going to maybe get for, like, months. You know what I mean? Because it just feels so, like, we've been like, man, we've been waiting for this. But then, like, that might be the best tag match we get all year. It's straight up. Like, we don't know. Like, who knows?
Who knows? I mean, yeah, that's – it's one of those things where finally the focus is back onto the tag teams. You know, the focus is also on the trios, but the titles are still missing. So – but they're trying, at least the talent, it feels like. So, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I'm glad that AEW recognized – one of their flaws in 2024, and that was tag team wrestling. So they've really made it a point now with, we have dominant champions, we have FTR, we have Undisputed Kingdom having this really awesome feud, and that includes our new tag teams that we have with Hologram and Commander, right? And there's more tag teams forming there. Murder Machines, I believe, form this year too. So yeah, there's a lot happening. And it feels rejuvenated and it feels fresh. So, yeah, that being said, I guess we had a little bit of news that we can hop into. Unless there's anything else you wanted to add from that match?
No, not particular.
All right, so we do have a little bit of news. Let's start this off with some New Japan stuff, right? So we've been kind of following the cup, watching some matches here and there. And we do have our final. So if you guys are watching the New Japan Cup on your own, and maybe you don't want to get spoiled because, you know, maybe you don't expect us to talk about it, fair warning, we're about to jump into some spoilers, but just throwing that out there. So the New Japan Cup final this year, Duke, it is Wednesday, March 20th. We have Shota Umino versus David Finlay in the final. So David just beat Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota had just beaten Shingo Takagi. So some of the bigger things that happened, and one of the matches that we really... Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tai Chi. Guys, that match is really, really fucking good. If you love Zack Sabre Jr. matches, this is Zack Sabre to a T with a legend in Tai Chi. Just their chemistry together, you can feel the bond that they had as a tag team. It was truly a beautiful match, and it was... Zack Sabre.
Emotional, like, yes. Hard-hitting, and also, like, and some people will be like, it took too long to get started. If you don't understand why that match deserves to have, like, a little bit of a slower start to it, I'll explain it. They were a tag team, and they were boys, and them breaking up was one of the most, like, linchpin moments of, like, recent New Japan history, and it kind of allowed for them to even have a company for a couple of years, because we had Zack working his way up toward the main title scene. And you had Tai Chi holding down sort of like the like, I guess we'll call it the light heavyweight title scene if we want to have an equivalent for the U.S., you know, like, and they both held it down incredibly well and went on to have incredible years in the last couple of years. It didn't quite work out for Tai Chi, obviously, but, you know, like, just for some context, if you don't know, like, it was like, we walk into that match knowing all that already because we've been watching, but, like, first, you know, you might just have heard about the match, right? Because it got, like, reviews that were good, but if you don't know, now you know. So,
which Finlay and Sabre also got really good reviews. So it's David Finlay, I think, has proven more and more that run that he went on at the end of the year, that match in January, this was not a fluke. And New Japan needed to lock him down. And it sounds like guys going to the tournament final. There still hasn't been any, like, official news, but it sounds like David's staying there. I would really hope so for them, because of how awesome the Bullet Club War Dogs are. And eventually, when you want to run Gabe versus David Finlay, I think that's going to be fucking huge. You know, David's one of those guys everyone's rooting for. They want him to be good. He was given a massive spot. I mean, in a way, if you're following down the trajectory, this is the spot that Kenny Omega had. So he was thrown into the top spot here. He picked up from Ospreay, who picked up from Jay White, who picked up from Omega. Like, it all falls down to him. And it got off to a bit of a stumble. I mean, not a lot of people were vibing with it. And it feels like maybe we're about, what, how long has it been now since he did that to Jay White? About a year, right? About a year and a half, 2 years. I don't know how long Jay's been with AEW at this point. But yeah, it's nice to see David Finlay really kind of grasping that and running with it. So some other matches on the New Japan Cup final. Just we'll hit the big ones here. The Hiroshi Tanahashi final road match. He's facing Satoshi Kojima. El Phantasmo is an open challenge for the New Japan World Television Championship. And then just a bunch of other, you know, War Dogs versus House of Torture.
And bro, back-to-back old matches. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Just Four Guys versus Bullet Club, this, that, and the other. So, you know, they're doing a lot of that. But yeah, I believe that's it for New Japan. So yeah, I mean, Shota Umino versus David Finlay, I think it's a pretty big final. I think both of those guys really need a win. And, you know, they're gonna get a shot at Goto. So Goto's been beating people up too. So yeah. All right.
We have Hiroki a little bit of Goto.
Da 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 da. We have a little bit of other news here. Okay. Layla Hirsch. So recently we covered that she had been, her AEW contract expired.
Got yeeted. Got kicked. The can got kicked.
So she was with the company for about 4.5 years. And she announced on Tuesday she's jumping back into independent wrestling. She said, after taking some time to reflect and recharge, I'm beyond excited to announce that I'm back on the independent wrestling scene. I've missed the rush, the fans, the adrenaline that comes with stepping into the ring. I'm ready to bring the passion and performance you know and love. And so, really cool for Layla. I'm glad that she's going to be doing her own thing. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that see her for the first time and really love her. So she's awesome.
It's tough. It's a tough position because she was injured for too much of her contract for them to really know what they had in her. So when the time came up, there just wasn't any reason for them to extend it. You know what I mean? If they didn't already, They may have already even done that. We don't know.
Because four years and 4 months sounds like a...
It doesn't seem like they would sign her to a four-year deal. Maybe a three-year deal. And it probably got extended by a year because of the injury. You know what I mean? So like, or maybe by however many months she missed by the injury. So, and that's fine. Sucks for her. I'm sure she'll be back. She was too good to not at least end up back in Ring of Honor at some point, at least. Like, And I do think there's like a 0.01% chance she could end up in NXT. Because I do think she would do okay there. I think she's just a little too small. But that doesn't necessarily matter in the women's division. So, you know, like, that's what helped her in AEW.
Yeah, it's hard to know if there's still that bias there, right? So,
Women's division has never really had that. In fact, I think that was kind of a criticism, was that a lot of the women were small for a long time. And there wasn't, like, the diversity of, you know, body types, if you will. So, I just don't know. She's just it's the shortness. She's just going to look small against a lot of those women in NXT right now, I think. But I could be wrong. Maybe a lot of them are shorter than I realize. I don't really watch the Fed, so I don't know.
Yeah, and then show her fucking picking up someone the size of Statlander again, and all is fixed, right? So
100%, you know? I mean,
I would love to see her. Dude, I mean, it looks like she did some stuff in Stardom, like very brief in early 2020 or 2019, maybe right before she joined AEW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good place to go. They're
like
always
somewhere
doing
she
well,
would fit
so.
Very well, so... Yeah. So little follow up on our Layla Hirsch stuff from last week. And then
there's actually a fucking hole of gaijins over there right now too. So now might actually be a pretty good time to go over there if you want the experience, you know?
Yeah. So the Future Stars of Wrestling promotion is doing a fundraiser to benefit Chris Bay next week. And Ricochet has been announced to appear. So I thought that was kind of cool. Little shout out there.
Wow, what a heel.
Should be a fun thing. Looks like some of the matches announced for this are Kenny King versus Swerve Strickland, Hammerstone versus Karrion Kross, John Morrison versus Leo Rush versus Ace Austin. It's probably going to be a fun one. Scramble match of TJP versus Frankie Kazarian, Gregory Sharp, Danny Limelight, and Ice Williams. Brian Cage versus Rich Swann. And, you know, Ricochet, the Rascals, Rhino, and Rob Van Dam have all been announced to appear. So, really cool there. Yeah, it's for the benefit of Chris Bay, who had that tragic injury. So that's really cool. You always love to see a lot of guys step up and be there for their friend. And that's a really cool thing. So, I mean, getting Impact, AEW guys, recently WWE guys. So a whole lot of people showing up there. And that's it for our news. So tossing it over to you, where we have AEW Dynamite this week.
100%, and I'm gonna try and not spend an hour on this time. You know, it is a lot on Dynamite always, but you know, I'm trying to cut it down as much because I don't want us to have like 3 hour podcasts every week. You know, I'm sure people enjoy it, but you know, it don't need to be that long in the tooth. I don't think. You know, Bill Nye, the soundbite, you know, might get played 40 times. We might actually get copyright infringed. You know, so we don't need that. But
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Speaking of Bill Nye, no, anyway, imagine Bill Nye showed up on AEW, bro. Imagine the pop. Bro, imagine if we are just, if there's an open challenge and the Bill Nye music hits, how over for his, for Bill, is Bill Nye for us and we're immediately rooting for him? I mean, come on. You know it's going to happen.
Fuck it. Bill Nye.
Kenny Omega versus Bill Nye. We're rooting Bill Nye. And I don't care what you think. You know, speaking of Kenny Omega, we opened up Dynamite with his music and said, hey, it's the new international champion, Kenny. Oh, the Omega Ladon himself. Basically, yeah, he does an emotional promo that I thought, this is what I wrote down in my notes. This promo was emotional. It was motivational. And it had a little bit of intrigue at the end because he called out some potential challengers. So yeah, I like this here. You know, he sets up the International Eliminator Tournament, basically says, who's going to be the one to step up and face me? You know, essentially, you know, like, you know, all he wants challengers. I think there was something that I meant to actually include. I think there was more to it than that. I don't remember though, but
it was just kind of, it's Kenny.
Yeah. It's a good old Kenny. Yeah. Like, yeah, I didn't welcome know if I still had it in me, but I did. Cause I'm fucking goat. Cause he is the goat, you know? And yeah, just good stuff. And then we have Shibata and the Ops come out as he's leaving, and Shibata gives him a little stare down. Shibata is in the Eliminator Tournament. So, I love like that, that there. I love the idea that we could probably just run that match anyway without the tournament having to be a thing, right? We could just do absolutely that anyway. I think it feels like it's a match we should probably have because, you know, I mean, it's like the guy that, you know, it feels like those are two guys I'm sure if you look it up, I'm sure they had matches in New Japan when Shibata was still, you know, around, if they ever crossed paths, I'm sure they did, you know what I mean? Who knows if it was ever able to be, you know how New Japan was then, it could have been like a 10-minute match on a show where neither of them had a championship or something like that, where they just needed something for both of them to do. There was a time when New Japan had a thick roster of actual talent, you know what I mean? Like that was actually, it didn't have to develop over the last couple of years like it has, you know, which, hey, it is what it is, but it's just the reality, you know? But yeah, so then the Ops killed some guys. That was pretty good. I mean, did you have any thoughts on the Kenny promo? I thought it was good. It's just good to set up the tournament. It's great to have Kenny out there. And God, the Fat Championship, that's doesn't one look of those damn things.
Yeah,
on,
it's,
you know?
It's like, it's not like the greatest promo we've ever seen, but it's just nice to have Kenny Omega out there. And it's really nice touch to just kind of get him, you know, welcoming the show. So it looks like him and Shibata did get in the ring twice together. So a Ring of Honor, New Japan Honor Rising tour in Japan. It was Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Shibata versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks.
Okay, we're watching that match. There's
and then
no way.
In 2016, Kenny Omega versus Shibata in the G1 Climax. So,
and that was probably also a banger. So
yeah, so
I guess we have some homework to do, Charlie.
Yeah, that was probably pretty fucking good stuff. So yeah.
We probably could find both of those right now, too, because we have, I mean, we could probably easily find the Ring of Honor match, easily, you know what I mean, because I'm sure that's available somewhere, yeah. But, because a lot of that stuff from New Japan, like, a lot of Ring of Honor got posted on YouTube back in the day, you know what I mean, so we'll see, but, that might be different now that there's Honor Club, though, who knows, but, yeah, anyway, just good stuff, and then like I said, the Ops, they do some murder, cut to the backstage area, we got Ricochet.
A little bit of murder.
They might have killed some people. There might be some dead bodies in the you know in the.
If you're not croaking, river. You must be stroking.
Whoa, maybe later in the show, fella. Anyway, but yeah, no. Ricochet is backstage and he's cutting a little promo. Says he still wants some gold. Losing at Revolution didn't mean shit. All it did was slow him down a little bit. So yeah, Ricochet says he's still, you know, he's still in that contendership. I mean, he's obviously in the tournament. I don't know, is he in this tournament? Yeah, I'm curious. Ricochet being in this tournament, is that a thing that they should have done? Like, I don't know, like, you know, like, because, like,
yeah, why not?
I'm just asking because I, you know, like, is it because, like, I don't know, I don't want to feel like he just pings around to different things. Like, I feel like some people can get away with that, but I do want Ricochet to feel like the one thing he hasn't done so far is, like, I feel like he's missing that big win, right? You know, like to cement everything.
Maybe he beat Swerve.
Yeah, but cheated.
I know what you mean, but he hasn't gone for a title now in a couple months.
That's
so
true. Actually, this is probably good for him to be in there. So yeah. I don't know.
That win is Swerve. That is the significant win for him.
100%. Yeah. I don't know. I because Swerve is world champion, obviously, and yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I want the world for Ricochet because I'm so impressed with him because, like, you know, he was never really used that way in the Fed outside of Black and Gold NXT. So, like, And we saw what he could do in that, because that was just so happened to be the time that we happened to tune back in, was when Ricochet was jumping over the ring and landed in front of, he's not a popular guy now, but Velveteen Dream. You know, I can pretend like he doesn't exist, but he was the one that he jumped in front of. So I can't sit there and pretend like it wasn't him, you know, like,
yeah,
it was Velveteen. But, you know, like, and even though obviously Velveteen's not the greatest person, that was still like the Ricochet side of that shit was great. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. Like, I just want to see him explode and become a million champion time, you know, million time champion. I don't know. He's just great. I think he's just, you know what it is? I'll put it into these words. It's quite simple. I was very ready for him to be really good, and then he delivered. It's the same as Will. It's the same as Kenny. I'm always expecting them to deliver, and they somehow find a way to blow my mind. Swerve is kind of that way too, to be honest with you. Like, those are the four guys. Those are the actual pillars of AEW. That if those, if somehow there was a tragedy and four AEW wrestlers all died and the company would be buried, it'd be those guys probably right now. What the fuck would we do? My God, Daniel Garcia would have to be world champion. That'd be okay. But who else would be champion? God. Anyway, yeah. So we had a recap video package with some slick editing is what I wrote in my from recap of Revolution. I don't know who it is they're getting to edit these pay-per-view like video packages, but they should get a raise. They're really good. So give them money. Give them all the money, Tony Khan. Swerve Strickland also wants to make some comments about, you know, now he's the number one contender. And he has like a small confrontation with Cope. So this was post-Revolution. This is after his win at Revolution and he's backstage. And then Cope's like, I don't know. This is before they clearly had decided whether or not they were going to make the match because of the way Cope phrases it. But he's basically saying, I'm going to be facing you next, even if I'm not the person that like wins my match against Moxley. I'm going to be facing you. So it does seem like Cope versus Swerve is going to happen, which I think it probably should anyway. That's a big win for Swerve, you know? So,
yeah.
But maybe a little bit further down the line, obviously. but yeah, I think that makes sense to me. And obviously, you know, it makes sense that it's weird to me that they planned. So we talked about this. Should we have done this match, you know, the rematch right away with these guys. Right. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's a conversation we can have. But I do think if the plan is to have like, if the idea is that Swerve's not necessarily locked into who he's going to face, right? Then I guess that's how you have to play it, right? I don't know. Any thoughts on that? Like,
like it would have been interesting, right? So, it, depending on how they're going to go about it,
he just had a match to become a number one contender, and now they have to like have a match to face him. It is kind of funny, but you know, like.
I'm gonna throw out a theory at you.
A hypothetical, a theory. Okay, hit me with a theory.
I'm gonna give you a theory on why they're doing this match. There was a lot of talk on Sunday night.
Hit me with a theory. I got my bricks and screws ready.
Sunday night, Monday, you know, Monday throughout the day, you know, all the think pieces. Right, there was a lot of talk about, man, Cope just can't lose. He even had to bring in Christian to take the pin for him. This motherfucker just doesn't want to eat a pin in AEW. And I think there's a lot of think pieces about
that. I love people that write shit about that, about Adam Copeland. Have they ever listened to an interview with the guy?
Oh, I know. Like, but I think, you know? And I think there's a lot of people like, egos are getting in the way, this, that, and the other. And again, I don't agree with any of this, but just throwing it out there. And I think there might have been some buzz about that. Maybe Cope or Moxley got wind of it and were like, dude. Because they also heard people shitting on it, calling it the worst main event AEW's ever had. And there were people saying that. And it was loud. It was very loud. And I'm sure that got into their feeds a little bit.
I'm not trying to offend anybody right now, but if you think this is worse than them burying Jay White's career nearly, I don't know, man. That was almost a diabolically bad moment in AEW's history.
That's just one of those
history.
Overbooked things. Like, it was so overbooked. AEW hasn't done that again, and I hope they don't. And, you know, I wonder if they heard all that noise and they're like, dude, fuck this. Let's go out there. Let's run this back. You know, either I'm winning, you're winning, whoever the match is going to be. I'm assuming it's still going to be Mox versus Swerve. But,
I hope so. I'm thinking Cope versus Swerve is going to happen when Swerve wins the title. That's what I'm saying.
Thinking that's kind of what happened. That's just a theory, though. So I don't know.
I can see that. If anybody was bothered by it, it was Mox. Because for one, we've heard Mox respond openly to people talking in the IWC before, even though he's not really like that kind of person. Like, he's done it before. Remember the CM Punk saga? Like, that was fun. But, that was such a fun week for our podcast, though. Because when John Moxley came out on the Hey podcast and started talking shit about CM Punk, that was hilarious. But anyway, I can see Mox letting that get to him. Cope doesn't seem like the kind of person that would even listen to that stuff. Like, he would hear it, but then he'd be like, I don't care. It's, like,
you know, so that's a theory that I could see happening, or this could have been always been the plan. And it's like, well, you didn't pin me, so you're gonna have to pin me clean, motherfucker. So yeah, just options. Again, I don't necessarily think that's what happened. I think this has always been the idea.
One thing they did do on this show that I'm not a fan of, it does feel like everybody that was contender, including Christian with his bullshit title shot, like, is now still technically like owed a rematch, which I think is so weird. You know, like, it is a weird place to leave things after clearing out all the title shots.
AEW doesn't do rematches.
No, usually if you lose, it doesn't matter how you lose. You're just fucked, and you have to win more matches to get back in. So, like, it's not ideal.
Might be a change in booking philosophy we're seeing from here on out. So
it could be. You could be.
We'll have to keep an eye on it. If this is a trend, you know, 6 months from now, still, we could probably pinpoint when this happened.
Yeah.
John because Moxley. If you do a rematch, because let's not acknowledge, they have done it. Like, Anna Jay at the end of last year, they did the rematch, right?
Yes, they have done that, because their feud was still going on. Like, we've done that before with feuds extended. I mean, Mariah versus Tony at the pay-per-view was an extended feud that didn't have a reason. Mariah, for all intents and purposes, if you're champion for a year, or a year, if you're like for like 200 or 300 days, right, or 130 plus, we'll just say like 120 to 150 days plus, you probably shouldn't immediately get a title shot as soon as you lose it, unless you're just like a 500 day champion. Like, cause there's, it's weird. It's funny when you're like, there's like a certain amount of days that it's weird. It goes back and forth. If you're champion for too like short, like say you're champion for like 30 days or less, I don't know if you get a rematch, right? If you're champion for like 3 or 4 months, you probably do. Then if it goes like a year or two, you're definitely getting one. But if it's somewhere in between that time, you might not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. It really depends.
Because I also can't recall them ever having a championship title match on the pay-per-view and then 2 weeks later running that back on television. I can't recall that happening.
It's got to have happened with one of the lesser titles, I think, at least once. I think.
I don't know. I definitely our world championships. I don't think this
has happened. It's not happened often if it ever has. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I this might be something new. We'll keep an eye on it.
So we always keep a tally on that. Like, I mean, we pointed out the first ever DQ we ever saw. So, and now that's happened a bunch more since. So it could be setting a precedent. We don't know. Mox is backstage, says he's the guy's underestimated Copeland. Says this, and isn't it ironic that the ultimate opportunist got opportuned on? I was like, yeah, that's pretty good funny. Of all the things that, you know, most of these promos have gotten pretty much nowhere in the last like several months, at least this one actually had some content that was like, that was pretty good. You obviously thought about that one, you know what I mean? Maybe that's where the idea of him even losing came from. You know what I mean? It's like, well, maybe he should win here, but you know, like at the same time, what if the ultimate opportunist got opportuned, you know? There we go. He's not gonna make the same mistake again, so I don't believe him. I think he's going to do everything the same as he has for the last however long. How long has this motherfucker been champion for? God damn it. Give me that information. I got to know. All right.
Too long.
There you go. That's the answer. All right. Hologram, who had Harley Graham with him and Powerhouse Hobbs, took on Dralistico and Brian Cage. Hobbs got like attacked and was like pretty much. They keep doing this in Hobbs tag matches, bro. It's getting a little stale for me with seeing him just get attacked instantly by the bad guys and then just not be in the first few minutes of the match. It's like they do the same thing every time. And like, I get it. He's a big guy, so you'd take him out. But like, I don't know why they don't seem to have we've seen him be in tag matches and just tag in and out and it's fine. And he's athletic enough to keep up at like a tag team pace. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've noticed this a couple of times recently with tag matches that Hobbs has been in. And I'm like, why do they keep doing that? Thoughts? I've just noticed this. I don't know what the deal is with that, but Maybe it's just a choice to try to keep him from getting hurt. I don't know.
It works for him, so they're just going back to it.
I suppose. Yeah, there was like a little bit of a fuck up from Dralistico. No surprises there, unfortunately. It's unfortunate, but it is the truth, you know? He's made a few slips. It's also not my place to say if he makes an actual slip, because A, I'm not a fucking wrestler, but B, I'm also not a fucking luchador, even if I was a wrestler, you know what I mean? So, but I don't know. It did look like he may have fallen a little bit or maybe mistimed something, you know, but either way, you know, I say that, but I've also pointed out that some wrestlers will intentionally make stuff look like it's not working or it's not working as well as they want it to. So I don't know. Maybe he fucked up on purpose is what I'm saying, you know, I don't know. But yeah, we had an anti-air spine on the pine, anti-air spine buster from Hobbs for the win. It was kind of a sudden ending too. I remember I was watching this and I was like, oh, that's over. Okay. You know?
Yep. Literally.
Harley Graham's still funny. So, you know, shout out Harley Graham. Alicia Altoat was backstage with the Hurt Syndicate after their win at Revolution. He gave Bobby and Shelton the week off, he being MVP. Yeah, basically said, yeah, they've earned a week off and he's really happy with their victories recently and they're going to continue to hurt people. So yeah, good stuff there. MVP just MVPing it up, you know?
Yep.
We had the recap of the Hollywood ending narrated a little bit by Ben Mankiewicz. I love that this guy just throws in dialogue for these random ass fucking things. Like, you know, he's probably busy, I'm sure, you know, like, and he's just like, he gets a call from AEW like, hey, we need your voice again, Ben. All right, I'm in. Tony Storm did some more shit. Let's go. You know, like, it's good stuff. The recap package of this, by the way, was a fucking movie. I want to just point that out. The fucking edit where they fucking did the shirt pull off where she turned fucking black and white. Dude, are you kidding me? What is going on here? Again, pay the person that makes these video packages more money, please. And then we had Tony Storm arrive. Timeless Tony Storm, my bad. And she said she's still champion. The crowd's going fucking nuts. She says it's time for a new beginning. It's time for her to be the champion. We got the best locker room, so let's get it. Basically, it's kind of the energy she has here. Says she's not even human; she's an animal. And then she's standing on the stage. By the way, I should have made that more clear. She's like standing up on like the front of like the Contron, if you will. She's then attacked from behind by Megan Bain because she asked who's next to be her next challenger, basically. And Megan Bain is it. And we've been kind of Megan Bain's been circling the world title scene ever since she got to AEW. We weren't sure if it was going to be Mariah she was going to face. The decision to hold that off, by the way, I think was wise, especially if you decide to have that match now or something on TV leading up to the match with Tony, which I think would also be smart because then you don't lose Mariah off TV. You know what I mean? We need to have, because my biggest concern right now, especially because she wasn't used this week, Charlie, is where the fuck is Mariah May? We are not losing Mariah May this quickly after we just had her in the fucking world title scene for this long. No,
she's got to take some time off, though.
Yes, I agree, but if she's not back in a couple weeks, I'm going to be scared. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, this was all really good. Did you have any thoughts on this specifically? I really liked all this here. This obviously makes a lot of sense. It's kind of the way we think things have been going with Megan Bain for a while. So,
if we're going to go out and introduce these people and make them feel like a big deal, well, they're doing it really, really well with Megan Bain. I mean, they are doing it very, very well. This is, and unlike when they just brought Deonna in and threw her right at the title, right? We've actually had some time with Megan. She's wrestled a couple matches. It's getting, you know, she's been on the roster now for almost 3 months, right? It feels like, at least. So after showing up in the, I guess 2 months in the Casino Gauntlet. So yeah, she's been on the roster for a little bit of time. Why even wait, you know, when she's getting another match next week? So she's wrestling former champions in Thunder Rosa as a world champion, Chris Statlander as a TBS champion. So she's getting really, really good matches. And yeah, you know, the Mariah May thing, I think for me, I'm content not seeing her until that show after Dynasty. I think if she's going to return, I think that'd be a good spot. That'll give her what, like 4 weeks off? And she's been there nonstop. So I think I saw on social media she was already back in England with her family. So I was like, that's kind of cool. So you know,
yeah, she deserves like, time off. I mean, she gave exactly for
I think
last,
that'd be a good
like,
spot.
While,
let's keep her out of this for Dynasty, and then when she comes back, it's going to be a big deal. So that yeah, I think that work out. I mean, hey, our trios champions have been on vacation for what, a couple months, so.
That's true. Well, no, they all got murdered by
it. I know. It just feels like it. It feels crazy. I really like this spot, and I'm becoming a big fan of Megan Bain. I really am. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Agreed. Yeah. And then we already talked about the match of the week. Come on, man. Fucking fuck FTR. Speedball.
Speedball.
Yep. We need to get a soundbite for Speedball. What's his soundbite going to be?
I am the Speedball.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's anyway. Speedballing time.
Oh, no. Morbius. Christian Cage was backstage with the Patriarch. Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. This is basically him saying, yeah, I still have a title shot. Just kidding. I didn't actually use it. That's not going to work out. They're definitely not running that back. But if Cope were to win the title at any point, he's going to obviously get a championship shot. So, and I do think Cope will win the title eventually. I do think that's going to happen. I still believe that because it needs to happen. We need to cleanse this. We need to cleanse the Butcher from that title. Well, I'm sorry. We need to. There's only one way to do that, and that's with Adam Copeland. So, and he needs to be called Adam Copeland. He can't be Cope at that time. I don't make the rules.
Adam
I just divorce
Copeland,
him.
Da, da, da,
da. All right. He's also mad at Nick Wayne. Basically, well, more like Nick Wayne's mad at him. He's like, yeah, he's just making excuse after excuse, and then Nick Wayne calls him on that shit because we've been wondering when Nick Wayne was finally going to turn on him. I mean, actually, we've really been wondering when Luchasaurus was going to turn on him, but obviously Luchasaurus was sidelined with pretty bad medical issues last year, so that's obviously not an option just yet. But if the plan here is for Christian Cage and Nick Wayne to feud, like fully on feud, right? And then maybe Kip Sabian and him are about to kill him, that's when Luchasaurus is going to come back, and then we're going to get that feud. I think that could really work out, especially if you set that up on like a pay-per-view, you know, that would be really good. Any thoughts on that? That's just where my brain went immediately when I started thinking about this. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, on paper, I don't know how much I care to see Nick Wayne versus Christian Cage. I'm much more still
if
interested
they'd use
in
Christian Cage and Nick Wayne more. Maybe you'd care. I mean, Christian Cage is obviously
I'm still much more interested in the mentor gimmick. I think there's a lot more story to tell here. I mean, we really haven't seen him kind of coaching him, and I think you know we dabbled a little bit in the.
Bro might be done. He might be like, I'm done wrestling, bro. I'm over it. I'm selling plates.
Well, I still think he's going to be wrestling with Cope at All In as a tag team. I still think that's their end game, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. We
got a lot of ground to cover to get there. So, I mean, this is a step you could take in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I would like to see the coaching thing a little more with like how we had Serena Deeb with Queen Aminata. I think there's elements there that Christian could provide. And I think the mentoring thing, it hasn't reached all the heights that it could. So yeah, I think there's a lot of love still there. So
that's
I don't
fair.
Know. I don't know how a feud with those two on paper. I don't know, man.
I mean, it did seem like that's what they were teasing, though. So
yeah, you know. No, it definitely did. Have we even had that emotional connection with those guys yet?
That's the whole thing. It's like, you know, but then,
like you said, I mean, it's much more interesting if it was him versus Luchasaurus. Because we had
100% because we have that emotional investment because we've seen it threatened a bunch of times. And so maybe Luchasaurus just isn't able to come back to wrestling. I mean, what he had could fucking put you out forever. I mean, he could be done. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, maybe it is too. Because until this point right here,
yeah,
well, there hasn't been a shred of doubt.
They've been in a holding
doubt.
Pattern. Yeah.
There hasn't been a shred of doubt that they've even been against each other at all. So
that's true. Yeah.
Maybe that's why it feels so strange.
Could be.
Potentially.
I don't know.
But yeah. I gotta keep Christian on TV though. I mean, the guy's way too good to be. He's been really backseat chilling for a long time now.
Yeah. He's barely. The only times he's really gotten used has been like as a third guy for Swerve to face off with because they've got that history in a random, like when you need the tune up match. That's basically what he's been used for the most part. And whoever Christian happens to be fighting at the time. but that usually didn't last more than a few weeks. I mean, that's the other thing with Christian. He's been super stop start recently because of having that title shot. I think they kind of just like pigeonholed
Christian
themselves
Cage
for
hasn't
a while,
won a match
you know?
Since 2024.
That's wild.
So him and Nick Wayne defeated Hook and Katsuyori Shibata at Holiday Bash December 18th. Last time he won a match.
Yeah. And we'll see how this goes. I have no idea what the plan is there. We had more footage from Revolution. Lexi was attempting to interview an irate MJF who punched Amir and was telling himself that he's basically worthless and needs to get his shit together.
God, he's so good.
And then they did another brilliant little thing where they did that. They showed that, and then MJF walks out and has something to say. Says he got screwed, that it was a fluke win for Hangman, that you know he shouldn't have won, that he's not done with the Cowboy. Then MVP arrived, which I was not expecting. But of course, they're boys, you know. MVP says, you know, he's got what it takes to be the guy, MJF, that is. And then he lights like a fire under his ass. He's like, you know, but like, why are you like, you know, like you're not longer respected or feared like the Hurt Syndicate are, you know? And then he offers him a business card. MJF initially refuses it, saying he doesn't really need it. You know, he's on his own. He's MJF. He doesn't really need it. He is told to reconsider by MVP, takes the business card. MVP walks away. I do not know if I want him in the Hurt Syndicate. I mean, it would fit. He definitely, but like, I feel like the only reason you would need to put MJF in a group is if you're not confident in the mouthpiece. Because that's, in ring, he's phenomenal, but you could get a bunch of other guys that maybe would benefit from somebody like MVP being their mouthpiece more that are as good in ring, or maybe not as good, but certainly on the level in ring.
Like Lee Johnson?
Right. Or even if Lee wasn't the other Lee Moriarty wasn't a part of the or even shit, somebody like Griff Garrison even. I know that would feel like that would stand out even more like a sore thumb, but like even that guy who we've tried, you know, cut like a halfway decent promo, but if you put him with someone like MVP, he's at least going to learn a lot. So like, I don't know, I just feel like there are other people that could benefit from it more. That being said, the Hurt Syndicate itself will benefit from having MJF in it. I just don't know what MJF gets out of the situation. So I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on it beyond that?
MJF's entire career, they've had a breaking case of emergency thing, and they always pair him up with people. No, I do like that wrestlers have each other's backs. I think that makes it feel more real. You know, it adds to the storytelling. It adds to this and that, right? But with MJF, they've done it so many times. He has been involved in so many different pairings. I just don't think we need it. Now, look, anytime anyone pitches someone to the Hurt Syndicate, MJF's never one of the names I hear ever or see ever. So the fact that it's even teased, I'm definitely a little intrigued. Because what the fuck does he look like with MVP having his back, or with motherfuckers like Bobby Lashley and Shelton
Benjamin
having
his back? They
always
talk about if MJF has heaters, he could actually do something with that. They've never really done anything like that. Like the one group he had, what was it called? It was like Wardlow, Brian Cage, and a couple other people or something like that, right?
Yeah, he had the Pinnacle with FTR.
In the Pinnacle, right? But there was the group he
made.
Then
they reformed. They made
that
thing the Firm with Ethan Page.
The firm, right, with Ethan Page. And that group literally was like, first of all, the dumb thing with that group was that the whole idea was that they weren't actually a group, that they only would come together when each other needed it type deal. And so, like, very often they just were never involved in anything MJF did, because I'm sure MJF even realized this is going to diminish what I'm doing right now. I think now is a time where MJF isn't the center of attention, and he's probably not going to be in the world title scene just yet. So I think this is something that he could do that could be good, having guys that are big heat and big monster men to do some beating up for him. I don't know if that's what you want your world tag team champions that are supposed to look super dominant doing right now. I mean, it could help to make them look more dominant. So I don't know. That's kind of where my brain's at. Anything else you want to add about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, as a former world champion, if you're really trying to make the Hurt Syndicate the top thing, adding someone like MJF can't hurt in terms of talent. So they're already 100%. Off to an unbelievable start in terms of, like you said, being so dominant. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so we have Platinum Max Caster, who comes out, says he's the best wrestler alive. It's time for his open challenge. And I'll just read verbatim what I wrote in my notes. Because I heard the music and I said, Kinosuke Takeshita, run for the hills, Max! All right.
This would be great.
Oh, Max Caster. You know what I have to say? And I wasn't expecting this. Max Caster as a solo act? It's kind of working, bro. If they just keep 100%. Doing this, if they just do this, it'll probably get boring eventually. But as long as they just keep throwing guys against him, I mean, it's a great way to just get a guy a win. You know what I mean? Like, it's awesome.
And yeah. The home crowd loves it.
Yes.
They're biting every time.
100%.
It doesn't matter whose music hits. They've just been so smart with it. They've been so smart with it. And it's working. So, hey, I can't believe how much I'm loving him as a singles act.
It's been pretty fun. So, I got
to
get
You have to find an avenue to make it work. And I think they've done that. So.
Oh my god, this next segment's ridiculous too. We have Jericho sitting backstage with a mask of gravity, holding it like he's fucking Hamlet. What the fuck was this, dude? And I don't even remember what he said. I was just so focused on him, like, I'm holding the fucking thing like it's a skull in Hamlet. I was like, Jericho, again, Jericho every now and then cooks with something. I don't know what the fuck this is, but my god, if he's doing some crazy Hamlet fucking Shakespearean vibes, look out, because Jericho might fucking steal a pay-per-view spot from somebody. That fucking Christ, you know, like, ugh. I literally wrote what the hell in my notes. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, what is going on? Jericho's trying to fucking get booked, man. Like, what the hell?
More proof that Jericho, when he comedy bit for a while and then we see him like serious again, just how great he is.
Oh yeah, dude, he's got to remind us every now and then. This is gonna be one of those times.
Yeah.
And he's gonna get gravity over like crazy, we know it, and he's already done it with Bandido. He'll do it again with gravity, so you know this should be awesome, you know. And if we
and
get
Jericho
some,
yet again working with guys that
we're gonna get some gravity Bandido tag matches, dude, that's gonna be sick. Oh, that's gonna be awesome. Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be awesome. We had Willow Nightingale taking on Penelope Ford. Again, Penelope Ford, just thrown back into the women's division in the last, like, several months. Phenomenal. Been doing great. Hasn't had a bad match yet. Maybe she deserves a title shot because of that. I don't know, man. Like, she's been fucking killing it. She might be a Mercedes contender that we have to really think about, like, genuinely. So, could Penelope Ford actually work her way into being the one that beats fucking Mercedes somehow? Is that a real thing? Could that really happen? Nah, probably not right now, but, like, maybe down the line, if the thing with Megan Bain works out, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Got to see some shit. Yeah, I mean, it possible, definitely. Just got a lot of stuff's got to happen.
It's probably Willow beating her, though, right? Those two are going to be eternally locked forever, right? Anyway. But, yeah, Willow looks really good here. And Penelope's, like, I actually have noticed, is actually good enough at, like, catch as catch can that she locked up with Willow, and it didn't look weird, even though they're very differently sized people. You know what I mean? So if you can do that, I feel like if you can do that against larger opponents and it doesn't look weird, I feel like you're really, really good at the chain wrestling. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And something that they pointed out that, like, Willow, like, back in 2021 was like losing matches, lost two matches to Penelope. And just for context, watching her develop over the last 4 years, it's been great to watch because.
Yes, it has.
I remember those matches. We covered them on this show. I know we did. I'm pretty sure anyway. And they were fine matches. I mean, they were probably on Dark, I'm guessing, you know what I mean? But just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just cool to see the journey that people go on. She attacked with the chair after losing. And Megan Bain also got involved after Stat made the save. So obviously Megan Bain feuding with all the big ladies, you know?
Yep.
Should be some good stuff. Mercedes Moné was backstage. Still selling the kick to the throat from Watanabe. So good stuff there. Billy Starks also was involved in this interview at the request of Mercedes. And Charlie, fucking Billy Starks is getting a match for the championship next week.
Yeah. Love to see that.
Holy shit. I mean, I was hoping that would happen out of this, but hell yeah. Shout out Billy Starks, bro. Imagine if they just fucking pull that ripcord, bro. How insane that would be. She wins gold before fucking Athena does. I mean, that feud books itself right there. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. Anyway. That's probably not happening, but I'm going to be rooting for Billy either way. I don't care. That's awesome, you know? Will Ospreay is in the ring with Tony Schiavone. And he admitted to us, Charlie. He lied to his wife. How could you lie to Alex Windsor? How could you ever do that, you bastard? Anyway, I forgive him, though.
That SOB.
He said he wasn't going to jump off the cage. And then, God damn it, that son of a bitch did it, Charlie. If it didn't make for one of the most hilariously awesome spots ever, though. Fucking great. Great stuff from him and fucking Kyle. I can't believe no one got injured out of that spot, to be honest with you. Not that it looked bad. It just, you know, Will lands pretty rough, you know what I mean? So, it probably didn't feel good.
No.
Yeah, so I was like, I wonder how they're getting Will. Because, you know, they want to do Will for the World Championship at All In, right? That seems like the idea they have in their heads, right? I'm like, how are they getting there? Well, they told us, Charlie. He's going to win the fucking Owen Hart Cup. I'm so down. I'm so fucking down. I'm so fucking down. Let's go. That's going to be sick.
Give me what I want.
It's going to be great. When does the Owen usually take place? It's like in a month or two, right? I'm guessing in the next couple months, I would guess, is when it's going to kick off.
Well, yeah, because it's the champions or the winners go to All In.
Yeah, so, yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. So, yeah. Anyway, well, obviously, we'll get more updates on that as time goes, but we're probably going to get the brackets at some point. We'll obviously do our bracketology once that comes out, you know what I mean? So,
hell yeah.
And, yeah.
Because I believe it's just Dynasty, Double or Nothing, then All In, so.
That sounds correct to me, so. Renee was backstage with Jay White, who says he wants a match with Will Ospreay. He also wants to win the championship himself. He failed to protect Cope, but he still believes that, that he's basically, you know, he's basically, I think Jay White's still on that energy of I'm the guy to lead AEW, which I mean, he could be, but like, it's a little late for that, Jay. You kind of missed that fucking mark back a couple years ago almost now, but hey, it's okay. but he'll get back there eventually. He's in a weird spot right now, man. It almost feels like you would describe him as like the upper mid card right now. He's not really a main eventer right now, you know, like, he's in a main event angle though, so, or at least he was, so I don't know. Anyway, we go to Hangman Adam Page, who says MJF was bluffing about burning him alive, and Max is basically, they find each other backstage, you know, and he's like, Max is like, you know, actually you're also bluffing, man. Your biggest insecurity is the reality that you don't think you deserve to be, you know, loved by the fans, you know. And he's like, and doesn't really have anything you can say to that, you know. It's just a good back and forth. I mean, this is probably, and I'm saying it now because we have the full breadth, I think, of what we're going to get at Ricochet from Ricochet and Swerve this year, right? I think we have, I think we have that full story, and it was phenomenal. It's going to be hard to top. This is already getting to levels with these two that I didn't think we were going to get to. So, like, it's, I don't know, it's going to be tough to decide, well, what's the best storyline. And maybe one of those situations where one of them gets best storyline, one of them gets best feud, and you just have to split and decide which one, which do you think was one more than the other, you know what I mean? Like, which, what's more of a feud, what's more of a storyline? Because we're getting some really good stories this year, and this is just another example, Charlie. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to add in particular? I can just keep rolling through here because we're at the end. So,
yeah, no, it's going to be exciting again. Yeah. That's the vibe of the week, right? We got a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon.
What a story to get somebody back to being a babyface. His biggest insecurity and the reason why he's acting the way he is right now is because he deep down doesn't believe that he deserves to have the love of the fans. And that's what's going to save him is the love of the fans. I mean, that's just, you know,
it's very nuanced, you know,
it is. It's not the kind of thing wrestling usually tries to do.
I appreciate when wrestling has the balls to add nuance to storytelling, and it doesn't have to just be the most obvious shit. We can, you know, have some fun with this, develop our characters.
And it makes a lot of sense because what is fucking Hangman called? He's called the Millennial Cowboy, right? Because he's like emotional and fucking in touch with himself. And what does MJF always try to do? He tries to add nuance to stories. So if you have the Millennial Cowboy, right, and you're going to add nuance to that story, well, there you go. You know, this is a Millennial Cowboy that's burning down guys' houses because he wants them to not be world champion. Like, there's a story there. So anyway. And then Orange Cassidy took on Hechicero in the Dynasty International Eliminator Tournament. It was a technical wizard versus the power of dude is what I put in my notes here, which sounds like an accurate description of Orange Cassidy to me. Orange with like the unorthodox like sort of rope-a-dope style was going on here. You know, I was going to note in my notes, I actually think Hedgesero would match up really well with Zack Sabre Jr. in a lot of ways, because I think they're actually really similar in ring. I mean, not just in their technical style, but I think actually just the way that sort of like trap sort of catch-as-catch-can wrestling style that mixes in with the submissions that they do, where they're just kind of like jumping at you like a fucking spider and just like catching you and shit. There's a reason this guy is among my favorite wrestlers in the company, Charlie. Orange Cassidy is a goddamn beast. And he moves forward in the tournament here off, I believe, an orange punch. So either that or a beach break. He won with something. I don't know. I like this match. This could have been somebody's favorite this week if you really wanted it to be, but it just didn't work out that way for me this week. But I think it was a really solid match. And I think this tournament's not going to be anything spectacular, especially in the ring. It's pretty much probably going to be all the winners you think it's going to be for the most part, I would think. But
Have the match next week. So the four-way match is next week. So for this week, I guess, if you will.
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of rooting for Hechicero a little bit, because I thought I was just matching up in my head, you know.
It's just a fun spot for a guy not in AEW, right, to be in the match. Yeah. Yeah. It'd make it more international, but I guess the idea is that all the contenders were international. WWE does that sometimes too, where they'll be like, there's four Americans facing off against one Canadian, one Japanese guy, one, you know, I don't know, Australian, and one fucking, I don't know, let's just say somebody from China or something like that, right? And all four of the non-Americans lose the first round, so it's just four Americans in the fatal four-way, you know what I mean? Like, the real international tournament there, pal.
Yeah, the little eliminator is going to be fun. It just buys a couple, 2 weeks of fun wrestling on television, too. So,
100%.
All right, let's jump into AEW Collision.
Collision Colliders.
We are from the Virgin Hotels Theater in Las Vegas.
Ah, you're home. Sorry.
And son of a bitch.
Fuck you, buddy.
Fuck me.
I got 77 words for you. You stinky son of a bitch.
And I got 77. What? No. So I thought this was a pretty good show. I really love this venue, by the way. It felt cool. Felt vibey. So I dug that. It was probably a fun show to be at. So Elton John kicked us off per usual. We open up with Ricochet taking on a defeating Katsuyori Shibata. Fun match, fun energy. Shibata lil bro'd him all the time, and it played into the gimmick. They worked out really well. Ricochet picking up a win over a legend. Never hurts to do that, right? He hit the penalty kick, rolled Shibata up, put his feet on the ropes, and got the 1-2-3. Hey, comedy works very well in wrestling. It can absolutely be used, and when you have two talented guys like this, they made it work. So,
I think in wrestling, you kind of have to like earn that from the audience. I don't think, unless you're just like the funniest guy ever, I don't think you can just walk out there and try and be funny. Whereas if you're like one of the better wrestlers in the world, you can afford to make a few kind of okay jokes and people will just let it go because they really appreciate who you are. That was the reason why they could never hit that level with Ricochet in WWE, because they just didn't allow him to do that other part. That buys you the ability to do that if you're not necessarily like a comedy genius, you know, like
developing his character. Yeah. So we get an announcement of how Collision's going to work next week, splitting it up into an hour increments on Saturday and Sunday.
All right. We're splitting our Collision review into two segments as well.
I bet for international viewers, that's going to be fucked up. I don't know how that's going to work.
How is that even going to work on streaming? Is there just going to be two separate Collision videos?
I don't even know. But hey, they'll get big reviews or big ratings because they're following directly from the NCAA tournament. So if you guys participate in that, that should be fun. That should be a fun fucking time. One of the coolest tournaments in all of sports, easily. So. And
is there an argument that they should, because they're on streaming, unless they're also being blocked on Max at the same time, which would be hilarious. But
Max does show all four games. So,
See, that's the issue.
That's one of the big things with Max. I mean, that's why
that's stupid.
It's driving subscribers. You're going to see more subscribers. Max is going to get a big boost this month.
That's tough because no one that's watching the games on Max is going to not just click off the game afterward. You know what I mean? Because if it's on the channel, it's
on the system
thing.
If it's going to drag it right in, right? But Max, it treats it like Paramount.
I would
where
be
just
shocked
say,
if a streaming service dragged you into a completely different show that is completely
some
unrelated.
Some will, like, but Max and Paramount Plus, they both do this thing where it just says, oh, your thing you're watching is ended. Goodbye. So, where Hulu, it's like, hey, motherfucker, enjoy. You were just watching this soccer game? Oh, enjoy this, bitch.
Yeah, literally. Like, so they it's not like that's to me. I was gonna say, because even if you're competing against those games, if they're not also on Max, why not just let it run on Max and then everyone can have both pulled up if they want to, you know? Like,
yeah,
you can't do that if you have it on Max also.
Yeah, there's should be cool. They got to get a little creative with this. So I'm curious how they're going to do it. They've announced two matches already. We'll get to those as the show goes on. So Tony Storm was backstage and Megan Bain rolls up, lays her out. So, or well, she calls out Megan
said Bain. A word yet.
I don't know. I don't know. Probably not, actually.
I mean, maybe it's better if she doesn't for a while, but she will need a mouthpiece eventually, I would think.
What if she's just like the greatest fucking voice ever?
Just angelic, I mean, I'm sure she doesn't. I'm sure mystical. She would sound fine. I just, they clearly aren't interested.
What if she's got a mystical voice and they're saving it because she's going to use the voice and entrance the audience?
Ooh.
Ooh. Powerhouse Hobbs defeats Griff Garrison.
Who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
The frat house has his boys. Oh no.
Jack Jameson and Preston. I Griff Garrison, he's been in a fucking vortex of charisma, of lack of charisma for years. Jack Jameson as well has never really been anything since he's been here. He wasn't even a wrestler when he first got here, as far as I know. Like, you know, like maybe he was and he just wasn't very well known. I don't know, but. The one that I'm most disappointed for in this is Preston Vance, man. That guy's actually good. They could do something with him, and he's probably going to end up in NXT at some point.
Vance is fucked. This is as, I think, low as I think it could have possibly been.
Him and Griff Garrison should become boys, make a tag team, because I think they'd actually work together as a tag team.
I mean, that's what they're doing.
No, I'm saying they should work as a tag team on the indies once they both get out of their contracts and then get signed to NXT and then become one of the top three tag teams in NXT or something like that.
I think if they let Vance's contract run out, he can go to NXT. I think he 100% gets the call.
And I think Griff has friends there. I think Ethan Page would get him in, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe. I just know Preston, this is, he's got to not be happy with this. There's just no fucking way. And I hope for his sake.
Fucking collecting lucha masks like they were fucking war trophies. I mean, and now he's doing this.
I really hope for his sake they figure something out. And maybe that's in a different company. So, yeah, this, our Ring of Honor's newest stable, the Frat House, my God, I'm not missing that right now. But Powerhouse Hobbs beat the living fuck out of him per usual. Outrunners came out after to help him when the Vance and Jameson circled him around. So, yeah. Thunder Rosa was Lexi Nair's guest. She was tired of Megan Bain's disrespect, and Bain jumped her and laid her out. This is where Bain jumped her. She didn't jump Tony Storm. So, again, I don't think she said a word here. We had an international title eliminator tournament match where Mark defeated Mark. Of course, Davis defeating Briscoe. And, you know, this answers some questions for us of what's going to be the plan with Mark Davis. And earlier on in the show, they were like showing some backstage stuff. This might have been in the cold open even. Or on, I don't know. It felt like they were using all the same talent at some point today. And it might have been before or after this match. He's out there in the back, beating people up with the murder machines. And it got me thinking, I'm like, I love that they brought him in to the, you know, Don Callis family. But if he's not hanging with Kyle Fletcher, am I still going to love it? And he's out there with the murder machines, and I just don't know if he's vibing with them. But I'm like, all right, put all that noise aside. Now he's got a one-on-one match with the unbelievably talented Mark Briscoe. What are we going to get? And it was a little slow starting, but I think at the end of the match, once they, you know, kind of let the selling sell and they were kind of feeling the wear and tear of the match, they kicked into that next gear, and I thought they fired up a little bit. And, you know, when Davis hits that, what is it, the... Death Valley Driver or whatever the hell he hits, whatever the hell his move is that he hits.
Whatever it was, he jumped like off like the middle rope or something like that. Davis did, and like he caught him in it, and it was like perfectly timed because like if he had held it for like even a second, I'm sure that would have been like too much weight. You know what I mean? For him to, even if he's a really good bodybuilder, like that, you can't just instantly have 200 plus pounds on your shoulders and it'd be okay. You know what I mean? Like without any preparation. Yeah, no. You know what I mean? Like, so it was probably like perfectly timed. I'm sure he's done that with other big guys. You know what I mean? And it just looked really smooth the way that it was hit.
So he ends up hitting him with that. And then, you know, little shenanigans goes around. Archer took the referee. Cage knocked Briscoe off the top rope. Big boot from Davis. Pendulum pile driver got the win. So yeah, that pendulum pile driver is fucking nasty. And he gets the win over Mark Briscoe, and he advances in the tournament. So I guess now, you know, now we got to let's talk about Mark Davis as a single star. Is this something you envisioned yourself? How do you feel about it? How do you feel about his first, you know, match in a one-on-one situation?
Yeah, envisioned. I don't know about envisioned, but I mean, I mean, it's not something I'd be entirely against. If there's no plans at the time right now for them to take Kyle out of the singles division and put him back in the tag, then that makes sense to me because I don't know what else you would do with Mark. So, you know, I wouldn't tag him with any of the other guys in the Don Callis family because I don't want Takesh to be out of the single scene either. So, you know, and that's who I'd tag him with if I was going to if it wasn't Kyle. So, I mean, I'm not sure there's something that I really see, but I mean, I'm always open to being proven wrong. Yeah. I mean, he's a really good wrestler. It's just whether or not
he's a former singles heavyweight champion in Australia. So, you know, he has done it. And again, I didn't take the match with Will Ospreay as, oh, we're kicking off a singles career for him. That didn't feel like that at all. That just felt like, okay, we're bringing you back in the fold. Here's how we're going to do it. So, you know, that didn't feel like this feels like, yeah, this is the beginning of a singles career. And yeah, man, I mean, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be very interesting.
What do we know from him being an Aussie Open? He's got size and he's way athletic and he's got a really great finisher in that pile driver. So, I mean, yes. I think he has all the tools. He just needs he needs an entrance song and he needs maybe some unique gear for himself that just makes him look and fits well, like with what he's got. And I mean, he's also got the dumper, bro. I mean, that's like half the game in wrestling, you know?
I mean, we're talking about a world-class dumper tag team wrestler. So, I mean, he's got the talent. He definitely has the talent. And I'm so, yeah, this interesting to follow. I will say I'm skeptical. I don't know how high he can swim in this division as a single star, but I'm open to seeing it, man. I am very open to seeing it. So, you know, maybe that helps him out a little bit. Maybe there is just that hesitation because I don't know if everyone's gravitating towards him. Like, oh, you know, when he joined the family, maybe they envisioned him with Kyle again. And that's, I don't know if that's the case. I really don't. So, and to even further that, he hasn't teamed with Kyle once since he's been back.
And that's interesting. You know, I wonder if that they're going to again eventually. There's no way they don't. They're too good as a tag team. They're one of the best. They're one of the top three tag teams in the company. You know what I mean? So there's no way you don't use them again as a tag team. It's just right now they clearly have eyes as Kyle as a singles champion of some kind because that's all I can see is the reason why they wouldn't want to put them together as a tag team right now.
When he returned in November, they laid the seeds of, you know, he's with Will, right? Okay, Will, he joined with Will, he faced Kyle. That's a fun little thing. So we developed onto that, and we got those couple tag matches where he had some unbelievable chemistry with Powerhouse Hobbs as his tag partner. And it felt like, oh, wow, I would love that for the both of them. And they've gone their separate ways since, and, you know, because it feels like the company's always searching for that partner for Hobbs. Like, he's had so many different tag partners, yet it feels like they're still trying to find the one, and maybe it could have been Mark. But now they're on the opposite side of the coin, and he's teaming with the Murder Machines, who followed him out here, beat up people, and basically took care of Mark Briscoe, and they brawled with Hobbs to the back. So, yeah, interesting. That's a fun little thing. So where do we go from here with Mark Davis in the singles division? Don't know. And honestly, in a trios, I don't know how much I love him and the Murder Machines. We have to see them really get out there and have a match together before. Because on paper, I don't know how much I love that. But always open to it. Always open to seeing what they give us. We have Swerve, who's out there. He's given a town hall, if you will. He's showing off his bursted eardrum. Talks about his relationship with Cope. Talks about Moxley and said, to catch a maniac, he had to send a maniac, and he promised to take the world title back at Dynasty. Simple to the point. Moxley made his way through the crowd, cracked him with a crowbar, laid him out with a curb stomp, and I thought they played into that really well. And he said people like Swerve Strickland and Jay White trying to close him into a corner on Dynamite, Cope was a dead man. I don't think he mentioned Jay White for no reason. I think a lot of the guys in the back are trying to elevate Jay White too, because they know he is capable of carrying this company. He's capable of being the top guy. So I think things like that with Moxley mentioning him, it is good information to have. But what'd you think of Swerve's town hall and the attack from Mox? I mean, this is our first real welcome to the feud thing since he jumped on him at Revolution, since he was Batman out of the sky, you know?
Yeah, literally, the superhero landing. Yeah, I mean, it's good stuff. I mean, it's, you know, I the last couple of weeks leading up to the pay-per-view with Mox and Cope was pretty good, and looks like they're trying to carry that same energy going into Dynasty. So if we can capture that and do that over the next several weeks, like I said, I already suggested earlier that I think the plan for Mox versus Cope is for Swerve to make some kind of save after they try to murder Cope after the match or something. And yeah, maybe Cope, because he's got no backup, cuts a deal with the Patriarchy. And that's who he has to make the save against. And then that leads to a few weeks of Christian Cage versus Swerve, which I think there's already history there, right? Didn't he face Swerve when he was champion?
Yeah, there's some history there. So
that would that feels like that might be the way we go. So if that's where this is leading, then even if it's not where this is leading, but that's where my brain went. So, yeah, I mean, I could see some really good stuff coming out of this. I fully expect this to be the best storyline leading up to Swerve winning. I would have to think. If it's not, then what are we doing? Like,
yeah, we just got to get past next week, right?
I think that'll be fine. It's a street fight. I mean, they at least have the plunder, so, you know.
Yep. We had a standby match where it was Hologram and Top Flight taking on defeating Shane Taylor Promotions, Lee Moriarty, Sean Dean, and Carly Bravo. It's all just, you know, solid match. These are guys all looking for opportunities, so they got out there and got an opportunity. And I thought it was kind of neat. We got a little Harley Graham was watching in the back. Beast Morto's founder stared her down. You know, can't blame him. Harley Graham's an enigma at this point, right? Jalisco
also did a little sexy commentary dance that distracted him in the match that I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was good. And Jalisco had to shove him like, dude, what are you doing? That was good. Yeah, yeah, good shit there. Harley Cameron, man. She's too good.
Engaging in pelvic sorcery.
Yeah, that son of a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. She's great. Match broke down. This, that, and the other. Top Flight stared down the crew at ringside. Hologram stared down Jalisco. We're doing our thing. We get a voiceover promo from Alex Abrahentes challenging LFI to a tag team match on behalf of Hologram and Commander. And he called them Los Lucha Stars, which apparently a lot of people didn't like. Called it generic. I thought about it a little bit myself. That was kind of generic. They changed their name. Los.
This sound like the create a tag team that they would throw at like your enemy opponent in fucking WWE 2K's creative wrestler mode. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so they're known as now, I believe it's the Titans of the Air, and also known as Los Titanes del Aire. Los Titanes del Aire. My Spanish isn't great, guys, but
your English isn't great.
I've never heard it. I've never heard Titanes or the other ones. So I believe that's going to be their name. Anyways.
Hell yeah.
The big news story here is Commander
and Lucha Fellas
are a named tag team. And if you guys know anything about us, naming a tag team, as simple as it is, it adds that next level. Just like known as when we get Leo and Action Andretti as the crew, it just feels a little more legit. It adds a little
bit
more.
Even if I don't like the name The Ops on paper, it's still a name, and at least the group is making it work. Like, you know,
it's much better than every time we look at it, it says Samoa Joe, Katsuyori Shibata, and Hook. No, fuck that. Give him a name. I don't have to love the name. I just want a name. And, you know, Los Titanes del Are.
With notable exceptions like the Viking Experience, which, what the fuck?
Dude, I remember working at Target that night that happened. And I don't know. I just remember being like, wait, what? They debuted our boys to what? No.
Viking Raiders debut as
they're
the
not
Viking
known
experience.
As the Viking Experience.
It was so bad. That's how every article referred to it too, because everyone was like, "How did you fumble this so bad?" Like
me and Brady, we had our little group chat. We were just like, "What the fuck did they just do?" Oh no, we talked about it. I think that night. Oh, that was good shit. That was good memory there. Jesus, Megan Bain defeated Thunder Rosa. I saw someone call her. She's getting the monster of the month treatment and she's beating that fuck out of everyone. And it's like, yeah, that's fair. Stiff match, hammering each other out. You know, Bane was getting the shit chopped out of her and she didn't hold back either. So they ended up brawling on the ramp at one point. Bane dropped her with an F5. That F5 is so sick. Rosa ended up beating the count. She hit her with another F5, scored a victory over the former AEW Women's World Champion. She put Rosa in an Argentine backbreaker. Tony Storm came out, made the save, dropped Storm with an F5. Chris Statlander came out to ward her off. Cool stuff. And then that set up the match, and they let us know next week. So for Collision next week, so far we have two matches announced. TNT Championship, everyone banned from ringside. On Saturday, Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole. And then so far on Slam Dunk Sunday, Los Titanes del Aire versus LFI. So Hologramic Commander versus Dralístico and the Beast.
Somebody's mask is getting fucking stolen. God damn it.
That is going to be good shit, buddy.
Right, hear me. I'm going to pitch something for you in that match. Jericho has this fucking weird Hamlet thing with the gravity mask going on right now.
Hamlet!
He's going to fight every luchador and collect all the masks.
I'm so down. Dude. If Jericho goes full fucking Hamlet, I am so down.
Jericho's going to put bounties on masks and have Brian Keith collect them for him.
Jericho's watched Sing Sing and he saw their version of Hamlet. He's in. And that's it, because we talked about the main event. And so Wednesday we have Jon Moxley against Cope in a street fight. Mike Bailey versus Orange Cassidy versus Mark Davis versus Ricochet. Who you got winning that?
Mike Bailey, fuck it.
I think I'm with you, man. I think I'm with you. I think Mike Bailey versus Kenny Omega is the match. Now, that being said, Ricochet versus Kenny Omega, I'm more than happy with, too. Yep. And Speedball in his vlog, he posted about the experience and the build-up to it in the post-match, and he was pretty much saying, you know, Kenny Omega is the match he's been chasing. He's been chasing that match for over 10 years. He's been chasing Kenny Omega, and that the opportunity's here. So that'd be really cool for him if, you know, welcome to pay-per-view, buddy. You're wrestling Kenny Omega for a fucking championship. Enjoy it. Lock the fuck in.
I can't imagine a more perfect scenario for the guy to come in because of how excited we've been for him, having followed him. Like, guys, like, I mean, I think he's been, for the last 2 years, he's been our unanimous, you know, independent wrestler of the year, I'm pretty sure. Or at least he's been my unanimous independent wrestler of the year. Like, no one else had my interest. I'm going to have to find somebody new this year because he's part of the company. Now I'm fucked. But, you know, like, probably just going to be Gabe Kidd, right? Like, does the New Japan count as independent? I don't know. I'm definitely going to watch that probably when we get done with the stuff we do tonight. That'd
be pretty fun. And then we also have two badass women's matches announced. Megan Bain versus Chris Statlander and Mercedes Moné versus Billy Starks. Doesn't have it listed for the title here, but that might just be old.
But to be honest with you, I don't know if they actually said that, but
okay,
that was what Billy was asking for, I'm pretty sure. So that makes sense. I could be wrong. I could have just, if I'm incorrect about that, if it's an eliminator, which it might be, then I apologize. But I thought the championship was involved in one way or another. So it should be an eliminator at the very
minimum.
Maybe
she pins her and gets that chance. You know,
I would like that opportunity. Or should just last them. What is it, like a 10-minute time limit or whatever it is? Or is it 15? Whatever the time limit is.
If they're doing that, yeah, that's what it would be. So where is this Dynamite at? It should be a good show. So, Omaha, Nebraska. So all the Omaha Peyton Manning folks out there.
That's the wrong city, bud.
Omaha. That's what that motherfucker would always be screaming. Thank you guys for checking out the show. And we will catch you on the flip side. If you're interested in Daredevil, 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 we got coverage of that coming out. Daredevil Born Again.
Born Again!
So, yeah, if you're interested in that, ESC Fantasy, link as always is in our description. Thanks again, and we will catch you guys.
Wait, Born next what was week. The what was the second word in that again?
Again!
Thank you.
Tom Freshly Squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Better be on that clam digging.
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.